Beloved, that's God that's doing this. I mean, you may not realize that how God works in people's life. It's God. Even in small things, God works. But we as believers, we must admit and recognize that it's God. Not us, not men, not the world. Even though the Lord is using men in the hospital, but it is God that's giving men the wisdom to do things. But we must give the glory all the time to God. He is the one. He's the one. But with all that being said, when I was in the hospital, God laid on my heart, well, before the Lord laid on my heart those two verses, I was always thinking about God's word. God's word was swimming in my mind and in my heart and resonating in my ears day and night for 24 hours, two full weeks. But God laid on my heart two verses of the Bible, which I know that you know that verse by heart as well. The first one is Romans 8:28. And you know that verse by heart, I believe. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I don't have time this morning to go over that verse, but the other one I will. But because of that verse, the Lord laid on my heart to write a little book. The little book is called Focusing and Trusting in God in the Midst of Difficulties and Storm. I want to give a copy to each one of you this morning, free of charge. You can have a copy, okay? My wife has a whole bunch of them over here. And then also, I wrote it in Spanish for the Spanish people in Costa Rica. This little booklet is a good tool to edify the body of Christ, but not just to edify the body of Christ, but also to be a witness to the world, to get them to know the Lord. And it's yours. You know, by the time we leave, you know, my wife will give you one. If you want me to sign one, I will sign one. I'll be honored to do that. Okay? The second verse that comes to mind, and that kept resonating in my mind and in my heart and in my ears, was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I know you know that verse also. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And that's where we're going to spend some time this morning, on that verse. Let's take our Bible and go to that verse. If you have it, say amen. I want us to read this verse together this morning. Okay? Let's all stand and read that verse together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's all read. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you again so much for allowing us to be here this morning. But not just here at New Bedford Baptist Church, to be back again in the state for 1 month. I know you had planned that from day one also, Lord, after such a long 2.5 years in Costa Rica. And Father God, this morning, you know, we ask you that you will speak to our hearts through your word. Edify us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit convict us. May your Holy Spirit also give us peace in our heart, Lord. And help us to keep on going to serve you, Lord. I know it's hard sometimes, but I know that you're in control. Bless each person here this morning, Father God, in a special and a mighty way. Bless them. Bless New Berean Baptist Church, Lord, in a special and mighty way. Bless the new pastor, Father God, Pastor Kason and his wife. And Lord, whatever that we do this morning, help us to focus on you. And help us to focus our eyes and our hearts on you this morning, Lord. Not to focus on our circumstances, but on you, Lord. And thank you again for allowing us to be here. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and all the glory, Lord Jesus, for who you are. And for your sweet spirit who's in us. And we pray in your precious name and nobody else. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Thank you so much. In this verse, I have to keep my mouth dry, and you know the reason why, right? In this verse, God is teaching me and encourages me in three things. You know when you want to do the work of God, the devil will always want to put his nose into God's business, right? And if you are not doing the work of God, it's not going to bother you. But it's when you're doing the work of God, it's going to bother you. That's his tactic. But God in this verse is showing me and encourages me three things. Number one, continue with confidence. I give a title to this message, and the title is Continue, Continue, and Continue. And you know the reason why it's three continues as we go this verse. Continue with confidence. Being confident of this very thing. God kept telling me to put my confidence in him, to rely on him, but not on my circumstances, nor in men, only in him. And I kept hearing and repeating, continue with confidence, continue with confidence, continue with confidence, when I was on the bed in that hospital. I kept repeating that continue with confidence over and over and over and over again. And then another verse came to mind while I was repeating continue with confidence. It's found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, where the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah speaking about Zerubbabel in regards about building the temple. And the angel of the Lord told Zechariah to tell also Zerubbabel, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. When that verse came to mind, then I realized that it was God, his spirit, that will do the work in Costa Rica, but not Jean-Claude. Yes. Not Matilde. Yes. It was him. Yes. Beloved, I have learned And we have to learn as the body of Christ to be dependent on God, but not to be independent of Him. Because many of us want to do things our own ways, our own philosophies, our own thinking, but God says, no. If you are my child, you need to depend on me. Yeah. On me. Continue with confidence, God tells me. Continue with confidence. And God kept telling me, you cannot depend on man, because man will fail you. Men will fail you. Trust me. Put your confidence in me. Delight in me and in your heart. And I will give you also the desires of your heart. But you're going to have to learn to wait and be patient on me. Just the way God was patient with me for all those years before I surrendered myself to His will. Yes. And God tells me now that it's your turn now to be patient with me. It's hard, beloved. It's hard. And especially when you know you're doing God's will and you have to wait and be patient and wait and be patient. The flesh doesn't want to wait. I want to do things now. I want it yesterday. But God says, no, you need to wait. My timing is perfect. Wait on me. Be patient. Be of good courage. I'm in control. My timing is perfect. I will strengthen you. And again, I said to you, wait. Wow, it's hard, beloved, to wait on God. But when you're doing His will, He gives you the peace and the strength and the courage, even the wisdom on how to wait. And we can jump and say hallelujah for all that. Beloved, yes, it's hard. It's hard to wait on the Lord. But you know what, though? God knows the beginning of the journey. He knows the middle. And He knows the end of the journey. That's what we have to do, is to wait on Him. Whatever the Lord has in mind for us in Costa Rica, but not just in Costa Rica, it's everybody who's God's children and He has called you for something or whatever it is. We have to learn to trust in Him and depend on Him. That's all we can do. And if we are truly walking with God, with our hearts open, there's nothing between you and God except God Himself. God will strengthen us, beloved, just the way He has put us through all those things with our health in Costa Rica, and I'm still standing. Who's doing that? Is it me? No! It's God that's doing that. I could have died a long time ago. And that's what I told God when I was in the hospital. I said, God, please, I beg you, give me another chance, another opportunity to do your work where you have called me for. And He has. So if He has given me another opportunity, I cannot give up. I must continue with confidence on Him. My confidence is on Him, not on men. Not on men. Now, I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. No. Now, there are some good men of God, but God says, even though they're good men of God, but you cannot depend on them. You need to depend only on me. Beloved, I thank God that He has given me another opportunity. Because He knows my heart. He knows my wife's heart. And He knows also our hearts. And especially when we mean business with God. We mean business with God. I left everything behind because I met business with God. I left my business, I left everything behind to give totally and yielded myself and surrendered myself totally, 100% to God. And I know why that God called me out of the United States to go to another world, another country. I know that. I know the reason why. Because if I had stayed here in the United States, I would be tempted over and over again to go back and forth to my business as an architect and a contractor and as a professor in college. I would be tempted to go back and forth, back and forth. I would never yield myself and surrender myself totally to God. He had to take me out of this country to do that. And to, if you will, quote, unquote, go in and to confront all kinds of situations. Continue with confidence. The second thing that the Lord teaches me and encourages me in that verse is continue with the calling. Continue with the calling. That He, who's God, who is God, that He which had begun a good work in you. God started a great and a good work in us, my wife and I. And me, He started years ago when we answered the call. And now that we have surrendered ourselves to the call and left everything behind, now we are being confronted by the real world, if you will. It's God who called us beloved. It's not men. It's not the church. It's God who called us. His Holy Spirit put in us, in our hearts, a special feel. Do you think if I knew from the beginning that the people over there were hard people and harsh people sometimes and arrogant sometimes? Do you think I would want to go there in my flesh? Nope. No way. I mean, we have to be honest. But if God's Spirit calls you, He's going to be behind you. Where God calls, He will protect and provide. That's the way He is. Despite of so many discouragements and distractions along the way, since 2011, God says to me, continue with the calling. Continue with the calling. The Spirit of God, like I said, He put in our hearts Costa Rica. It wasn't my decision. My wife didn't want to go over there, to tell you the truth, in the beginning, until I prayed for months, cried to God, softened the heart of my wife, and finally He did. And she also answered the call. Was it easy for her? No. Is it still easy for her? No. But the Spirit of God who's in us is always giving us that booster to keep on going. Continue with that calling. When God calls, He will sustain and strengthen. He will do that. We have seen, beloved, we have seen the hands of God in our lives in the past 2 years. We've seen His hands on us. And we must admit that it has been difficult and discouraging at times. A couple of weeks ago, a pastor was preaching, well, after I preached and gave an update, and the pastor said, wow, you know, many missionaries come from the field and give us an update, and they always say, everything is pure, beautiful, like rose, everything is nice, we're doing this and we're doing that. But never, like you, come back and tell us the truth. For me, it was an honor to hear that. We must tell the truth. Because the truth is in us. We answered the call and yielded ourselves to the call. And we yielded ourselves to the call unconditionally, without thinking of anything, without even thinking twice. And by answering the call, like I said, it wasn't easy. And beloved, believe me, it will cost and will bring things and situations in the lives of a believer, whether it be like us, a missionary or pastor or evangelist or even somebody that is working in the vineyard of the Lord. Which those things are so true and so real. And we must face them. We must face them. And only with the power of the Holy Spirit of God and His guidance, we will be able to overcome these things and confront these situations. It's only through Him. Sometimes we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But if you're walking with God, God is going to show you that, hey, I'm in control, not you. Now, I want to share with you this morning a list of things. Perhaps one will experience, but on our part, we have experienced them since we started this glorious journey. 2011, 11 years ago, and still going through it sometimes. Why? For the sake of yielding and surrendering ourselves to the Lord. I'm going to share them with you right now. They are not in any particular order, but they are in an alphabetical order. Now, I want you to pay attention to them, what I'm going to say right now. And you're probably going to ask yourself this question and think to yourself, Brother Gilboy, is that really true that you went through all those things and your wife and you? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. The first thing, adversities. Second, affliction. Third, betrayal. Burden, challenges, clashes, spiritual and physical. Complications, physical and material. Conflicts, confrontations, contempt, deception, depression, desolation, difficulties, discouragement, discrimination, disillusion, distraction, distress, hesitation, hypocrisy, injustice, jealousy, melancholy, obstacle, opposition, pain, preference, preoccupation, pressure, problems, spiritual, physical, and material, responsibilities, sadness, stress, suffering, tears, tension, trials, and tribulations. Maybe there's more. All those things we have experienced for the sake of yielding ourselves unconditionally to the call of God. But I must admit, there were some good, positive, and precious and exciting moments which compensated for them all, and where the Lord gave us peace and comfort as we were going through them. And we are going through them still. But the Lord, I thank God that He is in us, my wife and I, taking us through all those things. You know, there's something that, well, not something, but a question that we always ask God. And we must be honest with ourselves. Why am I going through all this, God? But the question is not why you're going through them. It's what will you do when you confront them? Will you give up, or you'll keep on going? Because there are many, many that answer the call. And then when they get to the field, or whatever the Lord has called them for, and they find themselves in situations and problems and confrontations, and they want to give up right away, and they give up. But if you were really, really called, and truly you have surrendered yourself to that call, you will keep on going and continue with the calling, no matter what comes your way. These things, beloved, I just shared with you right now, are somewhat negatives, of which the Lord sometimes allows in our lives, in forms of trials and tribulations. Sometimes they are there to test our faith and to make us stronger in Him. James chapter 1 verse 12 tells us that blessed is the man that endureth temptation, in other words, trials. For when he tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love Him. Beloved, from God's point of view, trials are the means through which God's blessing can come when we endure and overcome them. So God's desire for us as believers is that we mature during those trials, and not allowing us to suffer above that we are able. God knows what you can endure. He knows. And He will allow you for you to endure them. But He is holding you. Look at Job. We know the story of Job, what he went through. But you know what? God is faithful and promise us that He will take us through those trials. He's faithful and He'll take us through them. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, in other words, temporary, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In other words, diversified trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Beloved, the greater and hotter the fire, in other words, the trials in our lives, better the end product will be. The greater and hotter the fire, better the end product will be. As an architect and a contractor, I always think about this. As a sculptor also, you know, you have a piece of steel, heavy piece of steel, but you the architect, you know what you want that steel to be, the final product of that steel. There is absolutely no way that you can make what you want that you have in mind by forcing it with your hand or hammer. It's not going to happen. And the only way that you will be able to find a way to bring it to the way that you want in your design is by putting it in hot, molten red and orange fire, and it will be melted. And then once it's melted, you can do whatever you want with it. Do whatever you want with it. That's how God is. God puts us through those trials and tribulations in our lives, God. And beloved, for a purpose, because he wants to make us strong again. That's his purpose. The rewards are not on this earth, because many want to have the rewards here. I always tell everybody, I don't do things for the world. I do things for God. I don't care what the world thinks. I care for what God thinks about me. You know what a pastor told me once, and I was sharing something with him about what I do and so forth, and he didn't know that. He never knew that. But it just came that day that I was talking about things. You know what the pastor told me? He said, Brother Gilbo, you know what? You are a humble man. That's what he told me. But you know what? My humility is for God. God was humble when he came on this earth. There is no more humbler person than God. And I'm not even near close to that. But we must learn to strive for that humility. Strive for that humility. So, beloved, the greater and hotter the fire, better the end product will be. God is in the process of refining our faith through trials. So with that being said, listen to me carefully, beloved, what I'm going to say right now. We must have a strong conviction in order to serve God according to his ways and his will. And the stronger our conviction, the greater our faith will be. The stronger our conviction, the greater our faith will be. On the positive side of things, at the end of the day, these things and situations, you know, will bring, you know, in us greater strength, greater satisfaction when we overcome them. What we're going through right now in Costa Rica, with all this paperwork and all this thing going on, I'm just waiting and being patient on God. And then when I see it, when we stop the church with the paperwork, and we have it, you know, through the city and everything else is put on paper, you know what I'm going to say? Thank you, God, for allowing me and to teach me to wait and to be patient. It's hard. It's hard. But God is in it. So these things that goes in our lives, that we go through, will bring in us greater strength and satisfaction when we overcome them. So this is the reason why we must continue with the calling. Continue with confidence on Him. Continue with the calling as we persevere toward the goal for the glory of God. The third thing, and I'm done. The third thing and the last thing that God encourages me, and teaches me is to continue until completion. Continue until completion. He says, we'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, He will fulfill His promise that He promised us. Don't give up, God tells me. Don't give up. God started a good work in us, my wife and I. As a matter of fact, beloved, God started a good work in all of us when He saved us for His glory. When we first believed, the first day and the first night that you said, I accepted you, Jesus, as my Savior. That particular moment, from that particular moment, God started a good work in you. Isn't that something? And we tend to forget that sometimes. He will keep His promise. He will keep His words and fulfill it. But you know what the problem is? Our pride. And so-called tradition. Why do I say tradition? I mentioned to you before Nicodemus, right? Tradition. We have the same problem too sometimes over here on this earth. Tradition. We must put tradition away. We must focus on what God tells us to do and what He wants us to do. God is not into tradition, but even though He wants us to do the things correctly, according to the ways that He wants us to do it, that will honor Him. We must do that. But not just because of, not just saying, oh, because my parents were saved, or I'm saved too. No. Salvation is personal. Personal between you and God. It's personal. Beloved, God is not the author of confusion. He's not. What He says He will do, and He will keep His promise. In the meantime, as believers, what we must do on our part, to trust and obey. Trust and obey. We must preach and teach His word. We must continue in His ways according to His will, not ours. Evangelize and make disciples, baptizing everyone that believes in Christ. For whom? For His glory. Not ours, for His glory and His kingdom. The work that He has started in us, my wife and I, and also in you, is a lifetime endeavor. And the process. It is a work in progress. It is a process of Christian growth towards maturity, not perfection, because we will never be perfect on this earth like Christ, but to be mature in Him, allowing His Holy Spirit to work in us and through us until He returns to earth or calling us to glory. Whichever one is first. So at that point, and in that day, God, what he started, what he planned, will be finished, will be executed, will be done, over. I can't wait for that day to come. I can't wait for that day to come. We don't know when that day is. We don't know. But we must keep going unless God changes the course. Unless God changes the course. God started a good work when he called us as a church, called us out of this world to a specific place, to a specific, you know, purpose. And he called us to Costa Rica for a reason, and we know what the reason is now. He will keep his promise, and he will fulfill it until the end. And this is the reason why we must, it's imperative that we must continue until completion. It's imperative to continue with confidence. It's imperative to continue with the calling. And it's imperative to continue until completion. As we persevere toward the goal, we must press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God. In whom? In Christ Jesus. Beloved, it has been a joy for me this morning to speak to you. And I pray God, that you've been encouraged and edified as his body, you know, through his word. It wasn't me talking to you. It was the Lord talking to you. Do you think that the Lord, you know, will say things to hurt us? Never. He will never do that. Whatever the Lord tells us through his word is for us to grow and to mature in him, to be strong in him, so we can keep on going to do the work that he has called us for to do until he calls us home to glory. In the meantime, we must keep focusing our eyes and our hearts on God for whatever he wants us to do. And God's people said, amen. 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 May the love of the Almighty God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion of his Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Kesson. Thank you. And don't